Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, man, that guy that did the Cheech Marin impression on your first Led Zeppelin thing, yeah, that was terrible, man. It depends.
This is Friday. Happy Friday, everyone.
Jim. Happy Friday, folks.
And we've moved indoors. We're not on the deck today. We are in the basement.
Yeah, we got some wind and rain that came up. So
we do. You know, it just doesn't really want to be spring yet.
No, not yet.
It keeps going back.
It's a little cranky.
And so what do I have here? You brought over something.
Yeah, I went to the store. You guys got a fancy grocery store out here. The you can make your own craft six pack, but the difference between the store you have out here and the one I have in Falls Church is you have a lot of good beer out in this store.
Okay,
because there's a lot of the Loudon craft breweries that they have tons of beer from. Although the two we're holding up now are not
okay
from local breweries, but I know you like the Blood Orange from Dogfish Head, so
yep.
I thought I'd give you the Blood Orange IPA from 21st Amendment.
21st Amendment out of San Leandro, California.
Yeah, it's a solid brewery. And I got myself here the Tampa Bay Cigar City Lager. It's only a 4.5%, so it's good if you're got to go home in a little while. At the end of the weekend.
Good selection.
What do you think?
Yeah, this will do great. Yeah. Very nice. Okay. Happy Friday. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And before we get started, let me start with a Patreon shout-out. We have a new patron. We have one shout-out this go-round. It would be Peter Nordgren of Cornucopia, Wisconsin, who just sent us some free stuff, and now he's also a patron.
What a great week it is for Cornucopia, Wisconsin fans.
They should have a parade in Peter's honor, right?
It's such a fun place to look at on the map, Jim, because when you start scrolling out on Google Maps, you still are waiting for, like, when am I going to see something? And then finally you see Duluth. It kind of shows up in the corner there.
It's like
there.
Way up there in Wisconsin.
Ooh,
isn't
it's way
it?
Up there,
I'm
man.
Looking, I'm calling up my Google map
yeah,
right now.
It's
okay.
Way up there. It's a so tiny dot on the map. It looks
not,
amazing.
It's not far from Bark Point.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And
you can walk to the only grocery store. They have a bathroom there, too, an electric light.
So we're on Lake Superior here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's way up there in Wisconsin. In fact, it's so far up in Wisconsin that it looks to me that there are actually points in Minnesota. Yeah, there are lots of points in Minnesota that are farther south.
That's right.
This is
it's way
like to
up
get
there.
To Minneapolis, you drive south.
That's right.
From Cornucopia, Wisconsin.
You might get there faster by boat. It looks like you can get to Duluth by boat a lot quicker than driving.
So very nice. All right. But I bet it's beautiful there in the summer.
Oh, it's gotta be. We're gonna find out. July 4th. We're gonna
find out.
Bunting.
When our wives kick us out of the house.
That's the first place we're going.
We're crashing with you.
That's right. We're gonna pick up Snyder and then we're driving to Cornucopia, Wisconsin. Right. And Jasper. Four of us are driving up. Yeah.
All right. All right. Sounds like a deal.
Yeah.
All right. Now, by the way, anyone can become a patron. I mean, anyone with the means can become a patron of Rock in the Suburbs. And what you do is you go to patreon.com/suburbspod and you enter your credit card, debit card number. We don't see any of that. That all gets handled by the Patreon people. But
professionals.
But basically, you're pledging some support to the show, a monthly support to the show.
That's right.
And we certainly would appreciate it. We put a lot of work into this show. It maybe doesn't always appear a maybe it doesn't always seem apparent, but we do. And we would appreciate that. And it helps us out. And you also will get something in return. You know, there's a sticker that we are in the process of producing right now, a special Friend of Suburbs Pod sticker.
It looks awesome.
And I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. And there's also like free stuff online that you can get bonus content. Like content. Boy.
You can content, watch us like, drink beer right now.
Yeah. Like you can see the video stream that we have going.
Yep.
You can get advanced access to episodes. You can get uncut interviews when we do interviews, all kinds of stuff like that. So check that out. And then one more thing I want to mention here before we get going. Let me tease that the topic today is going to be Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
We did a Led Zeppelin countdown week a little while back. Remember that? We were in a different part of the basement here.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
In this compound. We had Brad Mailer, we had Rob Gates, and we had Kevin Spain. Yes. And they all joined us. But we did a big thing where listeners submitted their favorite Led Zeppelin songs, and we compiled that into a master list, and we did a countdown. And now we have some more listener feedback from that, people telling us, you know, how right or wrong we were. I think
you knew it was boiling up as we went through the week, so I'm glad that we're gonna go through all this and hear thoughts and opinions.
Yes, so we're gonna get to some of that correspondence here today, and then coincidentally we have another live event coming up for folks who are in the DC area or plan to visit the DC area that involves Led Zeppelin, not a reunion of the band, sorry, but we're going to do a movie screening of a movie called Led Zeppelin Played Here, right? And then after that, we're going to do a Q&A with the filmmaker, Jeff Krulik.
That's right, which is going to be great. And I'll tell you, Jim, two things. One, it's a fascinating story of kind of an urban legend that probably couldn't happen in today's hyper-connected world, because there would be documentation of it or photos or something like that. But, you know, it's actually an event that some people say took place and some people say didn't take place. And it's an effort to uncover it through eyewitnesses and other things. And second, you know, not necessarily coincidental in the sense that, you know, all this amazing Patreon support that we've got has allowed us to do more events like this and get out there in the world and try crazy stuff. We don't know if it's going to work or not, but we're going to try.
We're going to try it. So this is going to be cool. It's at a place in Washington, D.C. called Sun's Cinema. I have not been there before. I'm planning to make a little early, what do they call it?
Reconnaissance?
Yes.
Are they showing St. Elmo's Fire? I'll join you if they are.
This Friday, I'm going to stop by and check out their setup, but it's I think for people who live in the area or not familiar with this place, you want to come even just for the atmosphere, I think, because it's like, it's in an old house. It's an old house in Northwest DC converted into a movie theater. It seats about 30 people. It looks like they have like a weird assortment of chairs and stuff that you can sit
great.
In. Yeah. They do have some food, but more importantly than that, they have a liquor license.
Yeah, they have a little bar there.
There's a bar there.
Looks great.
So you can hang out with us, watch the movie, and then after the movie ends, we will do a Q&A right there with the filmmaker, Jeff, as I mentioned, and he's going to tell us, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff and people in the audience can ask questions. We're going to do all that. And then we'll record that all for future podcasts as well.
That sounds great. I can't wait to do it.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
All
right. So I should tell you when that is. That is on Wednesday, April 24th. And the movie starts at 8 p.m. And you know, it's a movie thing. So like it's going to start.
Right.
There might be some trailers. I don't know.
Previews.
But you know, this isn't like rock and roll time. This is you know, movie time. It's like they get
the projectionist will start it on time.
Yeah,
so it's not that hard. Yeah,
get there before 8. All right.
Yeah, you got to get in your seat, get your popcorn and your beverage, and get ready to go.
Okay, so there we go. Now let's get to the fan mail regarding Led Zeppelin, and we're going to start here with a call, right? Oh yes, it's our loyal listener Jimmy Linetti. Speaking of Minnesota, he's from Minneapolis, and here is his call.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, Jimmy Linetti here, calling in, chatting with all the Party Line people. Hey, you know, I am technically savvy enough to probably make an MP3 of my calls and mail those in, email them in or whatever, but I'm never going to abandon the Party Line people. But anyways, I got some Led Zeppelin-related kind of interesting trivia here. And so I'm going to flash back to Jimmy Linetti in 1980, little high school junior working at the local theater, the Plaza Theater. And my friend, he was assistant manager, so he had keys to the place. So this might be a little sidetrack to my story, but it basically was like a bad 80s teen movie. We would have all our friends park in the surrounding neighborhood to not draw attention, and after the last movie would let out, we'd pretty much have our run of the place. Stereo monitor hooked up to the house speakers, ice machine filled with assorted beverages, all the game machines, you know, clicked up to a maximum amount of credits for our friends. So, yeah, it was quite the high school job to have. And I had to confirm this with some friends, but at some point, one of our friends did drive a motorcycle into the theater and went up one aisle and down the other. So, yeah, that's right out of a 1918 movie, you know, a scene you could see there. But anyways, while I was working at that theater in September of 1980, on September 11th, I looked up these dates, Led Zeppelin announced their first North American tour since 1977. This included a November 9th appearance at the St. Paul Civic Center. So I had many friends that camped out, you know, the type of friends that, you know, had the ballpoint pen Led Zeppelin logos drawn on their jean jackets, and everybody was really excited for that that show, obviously. Then, on September 25th, John Bonham, obviously the drummer for Led Zeppelin, you know, he did the whole 40 shots of vodka thing, didn't wake up the next morning, so obviously the tour was canceled. So that was Thursday, September 25th. At the theater, the Plaza Theater, you know, we had the midnight movies, and I think Patrick mentioned the midnight movie thing. But even before John Bonham's death, we had scheduled on September 26th and 27th, the song remains the same. So, you know, the tour was obviously canceled. Every Led Zeppelin fan in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area wanted to see Song Remains the Same that day. So anyways, with all those Led Zeppelin fans in the parking lot, pre-gaming, as you probably figure, you know, we employed some rent-a-cops, and all us ushers kind of had a nice deal worked out with the rent-a-cops where we would split any confiscated beverages with them, which was pretty cool of them to do for some underage kids that we were, but the 80s, they were a different time. Anyways, people are really excited for this show and started lining up to get tickets, and they pretty much stacked up against our lobby doors, kind of led into the ticket atrium, and they the force of people just broke out all the glass in our glass lobby doors, the surrounding panes of glass. It was just like bedlam. I'm not going to say it was like the Who in Cincinnati or anything, but it got pretty crazy. Things settled down. We eventually played The Song Remains the Same, which still I kind of think that's just a weird movie. Never really dug it. But anyways, that's my Led Zeppelin Plaza Theater, Jimmy Linetti in high school story. Thanks, guys. And I'll be listening as always. Take it easy. Just remember, Jimmy Linetti and Bonnie Doon say, you are who you're supposed to be.
You are who you're supposed to be, which for me is a scary thought. Frightening. But,
me too.
Yes. But that's a crazy story.
It's amazing. Yeah.
In so many ways. There's a lot of elements to that.
Yeah, it makes me want to go back and go to high school with Jimmy Linetti in the 80s because I love especially love the detail of racking up all the credits for my friends when they came in to play the machines, which is great.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, Jimmy makes a good point, Jim. The movie's not very good, but it was the experience of going to the movie that was the great thing about Stairway to Heaven. You know, the movie itself.
The song
got
remains
that,
the same, yeah.
The song remains the same. I'm sorry. It's got that weird sort of fantasy sequence where they're all doing that and, you know, some of their performances drag. But it was the experience of going with your friends and staying up till midnight and that kind of communal spirit. So it's awesome that turned into kind of a vigil for Zeppelin.
So I've never seen it.
Oh,
should I see
what?
It?
You've never seen? Well, no. you can only see it at a midnight movie in a theater.
Well, this is what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You can't watch it on TV.
At home, it wouldn't work.
It's worthless. No, totally worthless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think movies back then, I'm thinking of there were a certain number of them. There were some movies made back then that were made for that purpose
absolutely.
Like, this will play really well with the stoners in the theater.
Absolutely.
You know, whereas today, now you need like home video revenue, and so maybe you wouldn't
I mean, it's like sitting down and watching Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's fine entertainment. You can, it's clever and all that, but it's totally different than being in a theater with people who are shouting out the lines and all that stuff.
That became a whole other thing.
And the same thing with Zeppelin. If you're there with the same kind of people who are there for the same purpose, you have that kind of communal spirit, and
or
you
like
know, you get into it.
The Wall.
Yes.
Heavy metal.
Good example.
Right.
Heavy metal, great example. Yeah.
Movies like that I'm not sure how well they work if you're just at home watching
it. Right.
Unless Maybe you like live in a certain state or
there is that. But I do still think on the small screen, it doesn't quite have the same gravitas, I guess, but hopefully maybe we can talk to the folks, at the theater that we're going to for the Led Zeppelin show and say, hey, is it possible next weekend or next month? Could we get a midnight movie screening of
you want to do that?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great? We can talk him into it.
Yeah.
Just help us with Song Remains the Same. Jim's never seen it.
Right.
We sold your theater out with 30 people. Come on, give us a break and I'll be there.
Yeah.
So that'd be, and Sheila will come. That's three of us.
All right.
Jim and Linetti will come.
Are we going to start the Rock in the Suburbs movie series,
Midnight movie theater? Beautiful. Series. Yeah, that would be great.
That doesn't really line up with our In Bed by 10.
No, it does not.
Business venture.
We'll have to nap heavily.
Naps are involved.
That's right.
I'm going to build one of those Costanza things under my desk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The problem is my office at work at the day job has like all glass.
Oh, that's a bummer.
The office.
Yeah.
I think they do that on purpose, so you can't do things like that,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah. So. Anti-Costanza.
All right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy, that was fantastic.
Especially love the guy driving a motorcycle up and down the aisles. Why not?
But all that pent-up energy for Led Zeppelin because the tour didn't happen because of the tragedy of John Bonham.
They wanted to experience
now,
that.
Now, it's like, we got to, and they practically wrecked the place with so much enthusiasm for this movie.
Well, it's interesting, Jim. Just a really quick parallel. Mark Jenkins, our friend who joined us for the Velvet Underground shows, talking about their first album, once told me that the first show of the Sex Pistols' Only American Tour was supposed to be at a roller rink in Alexandria, Virginia. They were going to fly to D.C. from London and play that show and then head to the South, but it was canceled because of visa issues. So he still has the ticket from that show, but it never happened. Yeah,
He has a ticket
for supposed to be the
Sex Pistols
first,
at a roller rink.
At a roller rink in Alexandria, it was going to be the very first show of the U.S. tour, and it was canceled. So that might be another movie. Did it really happen? Was it really going to happen? But he has the ticket.
Did he also see the Beatles first tour or first show in D.C.?
No, but he did see the Beatles at one point in his life early on.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's something. Okay, all right. Let's move on to
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, or move back to Led Zeppelin. And we have this Facebook, a little dialogue with two of our listeners.
Yeah,
it
great.
Started with Kevin Clement of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Kevin said that, like American Pie or Do You Feel Like We Do, Stairway to Heaven was a great bathroom or smoke break song for DJs. That's one of the reasons for it being constantly played on the radio. Right?
So interesting.
Right. And then the next comment in response to Kevin's came from Kurt Gallagher, and he said, haha, you are right. I'm a former AOR DJ. I was also a country DJ for a few years.
Wow.
It was almost impossible to go to the bathroom. At one point, I started playing Lying Eyes by the Eagles, 6 minutes, when it was included on the Urban Country, does he mean Urban Cowboy soundtrack?
Yeah,
is what he means there,
right,
I think.
Yeah.
And they said, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. People don't often say thank God about Lying Eyes, but
no,
maybe in this context,
that's
it might work.
Thank God I didn't have to be in the room when it was playing.
That's right. That's right. Did you ever do any DJing?
No, not in a professional capacity.
No.
Mm-mm.
Just an amateur capacity.
Yeah, that's right. In amateur capacities, yeah.
You're a pirate radio station.
That's right.
Pirate
radio and several Catholic school fundraisers.
Okay. For a very short period of time, I tried to work at the college radio station for a little while, and then I may have mentioned this before, and then when I realized that the signal went to where nobody would actually hear it,
right,
I sort of got tired of it pretty quickly. But I can remember the whole bathroom thing, because I would you'd be alone in the studio. Our studio for WIUS was in an old house, and you'd be just alone there by yourself, nobody else around. And
right.
So you'd have to find a long song to put on, saying. I think I want to say Sultan's a Swing was like a really long song.
That's not
I think
bad.
It was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one I could use.
That's not bad. I mean, also, folks always remember the Mike Watt song on the Ball Hog or Tugboat album called Piss Bottle Man.
Yes.
There is that.
Well, you could go that route.
Yeah, if you need
could
to.
Absolutely go that route. Okay. All right. And now we're going to end this Led Zeppelin feedback with a call from Echo Park. And
what
this
a good
is
way
not,
to end the week.
This is not a 25 to 35 minute call. This one is a nice compact, like 8 minutes. All right.
Great.
But it's Echo Park Jimmy weighing in on our Led Zeppelin countdown.
With a purple umbrella and a 50 cent hat, it's Echo Park Jimmy putting in his 2 bits or his 4 sticks or his top 10 Led Zeppelin songs. I just think it's an impossible task, Jim and Patrick. I mean, 10 songs from Led Zeppelin. I think it's even harder than 10 songs from the Beatles. I'll give it a whirl. But if the Beatles' early work is like, you know, elementary school, and the Beatles' later work is like college, and if The Who talks to the adolescence and the puberty struggles of like high school, then I think Led Zeppelin, you got it zeroes in on junior high school, I think, like Dungeons and Dragons and all the Hobbit references, Lord of the Rings stuff, all the fairies and goblins, and just kind of more of a junior. I think it speaks to like the junior high school kid before you get into the Jim Lenihan era of like REM or your Doors phase or, you know, your punk phase later in life. So if Led Zeppelin doesn't speak to you, maybe you had a horrible childhood. I don't know. But back to the top 10, it's just hard because if you take the Rock in the Suburbs approach and say, you know, 5 albums, it would be 1, 2, 4, Houses of the Holy and Physical Graffiti. And then I got to thinking, if it's your favorite songs, I could just pick 10 songs off of Physical Graffiti. I think that was the peak. But if you look at their first 6 albums, say there's 59 songs, and about 70% of them are perfect. So how do you get down from there? And then I thought of Patrick talking about, somebody was talking about John Lennon would bring like Strawberry Fields Forever in and say, this is the sonic territory for this album. So you can kind of narrow it down from there. And then I realized, just like when we talked about Van Halen, that stuff where the producer is talking to Dave, like, give me a break, Dave, and Dave talking his shtick. But what you got to focus on with Zeppelin's best stuff is that clavinet. John Paul Jones was a classically trained pianist. And when he breaks out the clavinet, watch out. So I started with Trampled Underfoot. And then you can go from there with the top 10. So if you start from the clavinet and then you cross-reference that with your favorite tracks that resonate with you throughout the years in pop culture, because Led Zeppelin is omnipresent, and then you subtract all the overplayed songs, which show up a lot on Led Zeppelin 4. Unfortunately, Led Zeppelin's 10 best songs might not be the 10 favorite because some songs have just been driven into the ground and are beyond repair. So if I was doing my top 10, I'd start with the Rain song because it's like the anti-Zeppelin song. It sounds like ELO or like Elton John. And I love how if it's Rock in the Suburbs, the number one Beatles song was the Rain song or just Rain. So I love how the Rain song would start off any list because it's a beautiful song. And then you go back to the first album. Any track on that album is solid, but Good Times, Bad Times is my choice. And then Zeppelin invented the awesome stroke of 2 songs that fit like one. So this counts as one. Heartbreaker, Livin' Lovin' Made, because radio still plays those songs together, so it's one song. And then at 4, I would say That's the Way from Led Zeppelin 3, discovered later in life by me because of Cameron Crowe and the awesome placement on the Almost Famous soundtrack. And it's so many ballads by Zeppelin. And I would include Going to California and That's the Way on my list if we're talking ballads. But they have so many good ballads. I think it's why through the years people love them, because everybody loves a good power ballad. And also from Led Zeppelin 4, Misty Mountain Hop, for obvious reasons, to Echo Park Jimmy. And they also invented my number 6 pick is Houses of the Holy, because it's on Physical Graffiti, but it's a song name from another album. I know it's happened elsewhere in music history. Get on that, Craig Rosen. And then the aforementioned Trampled Underfoot, because it just showcases the best of Physical Graffiti's clavinet work. And then I picked 10 Years Gone at number 9 because, you know what I'm saying, Led Zeppelin, other than power ballads, they did the 10-minute freak out. In my time of dying, just barely missed this list. But I gotta go with 10 Years Gone because it's just the best of their, it's the most complete and thought out of their 10-minute jams song. And if Ramble On just barely misses my top 10, it's because I gotta end the perfect top 10 Zeppelin list with The Ocean. If it starts with the Rain song, you end it with The Ocean. It's just a gem from House of the Holy. And it's about rain again. And that's why the Rain song is good, because everybody wants a little rain in their life. Or everybody needs a little rain in their life. You know what I'm saying. The clavinet is also all over Custard Pie. I love The Rover. In My Time of Dying. The more you look at Physical Graffiti, I mean, forget about it.
Well, thank you for that.
That was great.
Echo Park Jimmy.
Jim, I have a question for you. What is a clavinet? Is it like the thing? Do you remember in the mall when they used to have the organ store, that weird organ store that nobody ever went in, yet they had the guy like right
playing
at the front
it.
playing it super loud and echoed through that whole part of the mall? Is it like an organ like
it
that?
It is some kind of an organ,
some
right?
Some kind of an organ.
But
where
it's not like that.
It's not that big. It didn't have foot pedals, right? It was the thing that John Paul Jones played when he stood up, I think. You know, and there's
I'm
one part
here.
In Song Remains the Same, I think.
Yeah, it's
looks like kind of a Casio, but bigger.
It's a small, it looks like a small keyboard.
Yeah.
But it did have sort of an organ kind of sound to it, but not as cheesy as what you're describing.
Right. Not as rich.
Yes.
Those are the saddest stores in the whole mall, the organ store. No one ever seemed to go in there.
Organ store. Did you ever know anyone who actually in their home had an organ like that kind of a console
sit-down
organ thing?
A lot of people with pianos, and I know a guy with a player piano, which is real weird, but no, I don't think I ever did.
My grandmother had one.
Oh, did she?
She did.
One of those organs with like the big pedals?
The organ with the two, you know, the two.
Yeah, and lots of knobs and controls and dials.
The keyboard is split in half and one is laid sort of on top of the other, right?
Yeah.
So when you're playing with two hands, they're on different levels.
That's right. That's so strange.
It was so
hymns and things.
Well, so they could make it more compact. It wasn't as wide as a piano. So an organ, I think... If you went to the organ store at the mall, I think the selling point of the organ was that it was like a smaller thing that you could keep in your home. It didn't take up so much space. It had all these magical sounds that you could get. And it had like rhythms, too.
That's right. Yeah. So it was like a Casio.
And it was considered in some ways, I guess, kind of not necessarily easier to play. You still had to know how to play music, but easier to make it sound impressive to people.
Right.
Right.
You know? Because it had like a bigger sound and more sustain and all that.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So I used to play the organ at my grandmother's house.
Oh, that's cool.
That was nice. Yes.
Yeah, that is cool. But EPJ put a lot of emphasis on the clavinet, so I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Now, I didn't play like you know, cashmere or anything like that.
No.
Grandmother's house. I don't remember what songs I played back then, but I wish I had. That would have been really, that would have
been
kind of
cool. Yeah. But, you know, I think UVJ makes a great point about the ballads for Led Zeppelin. I really think that's a great insight. They did write great ballads. They are timeless and great to listen to. And I think that is a reason they were so enduring and people liked them a lot. So that's really well said.
Yes, thanks for the call. I think it was great. So,
yeah, really good.
And it's funny, I'm thinking back to when Jim and I were in school together back in Toledo.
Junior high? Did you go to junior high together?
We did go to junior high together.
Because he talked about Led Zeppelin being a junior high band.
This is what I'm trying to remember. We did. We went to Burndale Junior High, okay. It was called, the Bulldogs. And I don't remember us listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin back then. In fact, they were not one of our bands. The Who was definitely like sort of our band.
Yeah.
That was like the one that he and I and Matt Beakley and all that we really got into was probably The Who. Mm-hmm. Zeppelin, I think I said this before, that was a band I developed an interest in later on. And I think a lot of it was because, like he was talking about the whole like fantasy aspect of it. I don't know how much that really appealed to us back then, unlike other kids. I don't know.
Right.
So anyway.
Right. Makes sense.
We like The Who.
That's
and
right,
the power
man.
Chords
That's
and
right.
the, you know.
Windmill.
The mods.
Yes. Exactly.
The mods of Ohio.
That's right. Yes. We are the mods.
That's right. All right. So let's get out of here. That was good. That was good
fantastic.
Stuff. We appreciate all the feedback.
Thanks, y'all.
If anybody else has anything they want to say about Led Zeppelin, we will still accept comment.
Mm-hmm.
The commentary period remains open.
Yeah.
It is either on the email, rock@suburbspod.com, or call
612-440-1984.
Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Please rate and review our show on iTunes. Please subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff,
all that
right?
stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back next week with some more correspondence on something a little more modern. We're going to have people recommend new music to us.
I'm excited about that.
This is really because this whole thing is starting to snowball finally.
It is.
We do the new music episodes like once a month. And now we're finally getting to the point where people are contributing their new music. And I think we have really, this is really cool feedback loop.
And occasionally even the bands we mentioned will say something about it, which happened recently. So that's awesome too.
Yes, exactly. All right. So you're going to want to hear that next week. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Do.